All right, so tonight I'm going to talk about a couple of things. I'm going to talk about a vision that the Lord had given me back in 2020. So before I get started, let's open it with a word of prayer, and then we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the intercessors that are with us tonight. I thank you, Father God, for those that, this is our first time here, and they're here to hear the word. They're here to pray with us. They're here to stand in the gap in a pivotal year in our nation. I thank you for those that have been faithful and been with us, Lord God, for years and some even decades. We thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing and how you are expanding us, Lord God. You're expanding our reach. You're expanding the heart of the intercessor to blanket this nation in a time of great shaking. I thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness, most of all. Thank you for the privilege we have to serve you in this hour. In your precious and holy name, amen. So, in 2020, the Lord gave me a vision, and I've shared this vision several times because it was such a profound vision that he gave me, and it's so pivotal. Really, we're right on the cusp of seeing this come about and the fulfillment of it. And the beauty of it is, you know, when the Lord speaks to us, sometimes we don't see the fruit of that, or we don't see the fulfillment of it for many years, you know. And but, you know, we're going to see the fulfillment of this. And I'm so privileged to be a part of this fight for our nation with my mom and with each of you. So this is exciting. So just open up your heart and open up your mind and let God speak to you, and because there's going to be different elements of it that he will really touch your heart with, that you can grab a hold of and pray into in the coming months. So the following is from The Eagle, the Flag, and the Path of Freedom. It was a vision given to me by the Lord on September 21st of 2020. Now, you can find this on our website at worldforjesus.org. If you just type in the keyword, the eagle and the flag, it'll come up. Okay, so I was praying for the nation, and the Lord showed me the following. I saw an eagle flying across the country. He had a flag clenched in his talons. He was strong, and his flight was intense, but he was weighed down. I saw a spirit of deception that was swirling visibly around the flag as it flew. I looked past the flag and saw five weights attached to the end of the flag. They were round and appeared to be cast iron. They were attached to the flag, weighing it down, but they were also connected to one another, like by bungee cords almost. So the five weights were media, which this includes the news, social media, the entertainment industry, the music industry, the print industry, all of these things that influence us. The second one was academia. The third one was bloodletting. This is abortion, human trafficking. I would also incorporate gang violence into that. Fourth one was religion and the spirit of compromise. This includes the Catholic Church, Islamic infiltration, and radicalism, and it deeply impacts the church today. The final one was communism. So this involves tyranny, lawlessness, cultural Marxism, and social justice warriors. So as I prayed intensely in the spirit, the weights began to fall off the flag one by one. The eagle was jolted when the first one broke off, but he recovered quickly. The next weight quickly followed, and they all began to snap off like you'd expect something connected by bungee cords. So like when the first one came off, it triggered the others. So when the last weight fell, the eagle soared across the nation. I heard a sonic boom. One could easily see that rather than being fatigued or wearied by the weights, the eagle had been strengthened by his efforts to fly under them, under the weight of them. Yes, he was strong. Now that his flight was no longer strained, he flew with great determination and power. The eagle's goal was to break tyranny off of the earth. Many in America have forgotten what our flag represents. It's a stand against tyranny. The American flag flew behind this eagle with vibrant color and strength, the cross now shining through its red and white colors. I heard a sonic boom as the eagle completed his flight across America, and he continued his flight around the world. As he entered the border of a nation, another sonic boom could be heard, and I witnessed the spirit of communism break off that nation as well. With each passage, he brought strength and freedom to the people of that nation. So with that in mind, I'd like to address these weights tonight and the progress we've made because of your obedience to the call of intercession. Secondly, I'd like to address some things that we should be looking for in the days ahead, and finally, bring it all together with a lesson from Paul's life. So the first weight is the media. The Lord told me about 30 weeks after the vision that I'd had that the media is the first ball to fall, and that we're seeing that occur today. And I'm going to touch on just a few headlines. January 20th of 2023, Business Insider reported that Google is laying off 12,000 employees, or about 6% of its global workforce. June 13th of 2023, Axios reported the media industry has announced at least 17,436 job cuts so far this year, marking the highest year-to-date level of cuts on record. Axios again in January 26th of 2024, nearly a dozen mainstream media companies are gutting staff and scrambling to rescue their struggling businesses. So why does this matter? Because media business is shrinking at the national, state, and local levels, a scary, stark new reality for thousands of journalists. Media cuts were so severe last year, 2023, that most industry observers weren't expecting such intense cutbacks in 2024. But an ongoing bloodbath is decimating news outlets nationwide. Now, it's also, the article goes on, fueling a new round of conflict between unions and management as tensions run high. Now, my note to this is unions are often used to push communist agendas. Those at the top are activists, often referred to as union mafia bosses. Talk to a teacher about the teachers' union, and you'll understand what that really means. So I'm going to go through a couple of other media outlets that have really had to gut their rooms. Sports Illustrated newsroom, it was gutted by sweeping layoffs after its parent company had to, they couldn't pay their upcoming payment. Now, Sports Illustrated, if you can remember this, they jumped onto the cultural Marxist social justice warrior train in 2021 and then again in 2023 by including transgendered men on the cover of their women's swimsuit issue. So they kind of destined themselves for this collapse. Meta, the parent company of Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, said in November it was laying off more than 11,000 employees, or 13% of its workforce. In the first month of 2024, based on the dates when the EDD posted the WARN notices, tech companies have revealed plans to slash over 3,500 jobs in the Bay Area alone. And just looking at tech jobs alone, layoffs.fyi counted 28,970 jobs that are going to be gone during the first 31 days of 2024. That's a lot of gutting of the media. So we know and understand that the reason for these drastic layoffs is twofold. We know it's in part due to the economy, but in reality, God is bringing judgment on the media and the tech industry. Remember, in June of 2023, the Lord told me the hammer of justice was about to fall, and media was the first one on the list. His justice is here. And as I mentioned, in 2020, the Lord said the media was the first ball to fall, and through our consistent intercession regarding the corruption of media, we're bringing these cultural Marxist-infused social justice warrior liberal leftist platforms down. While our hearts go out to those impacted by these layoffs, the truth is they're in an industry that's under the judgment of God. He's dealing with them now so he can bring forth a new breed of journalists who will reject cultural Marxism and stand for absolute truth. So the second one is not quite as long. Bloodletting, and that's abortion and human trafficking. So we are living in a time where the topic of abortion is in the news on almost a daily basis, mostly by extremists claiming that women's right to choose is of the utmost importance, and anyone who disagrees with this is an alt-right Christian nationalist who could really care less about what a woman or a birthing person is going through by being forced to carry a child they don't want full term. These commentators have been so bold as to refer to that precious life within the womb as a parasite sucking the life out of a woman. Isn't that terrible? In fact, this is what Hillary Clinton referred to our pre-born children during the COP27 meeting, adding that their negative impact, the extent of their negative impact on the climate crisis. Never did I think that someone would call a child as being one that is causing the climate crisis. So the second part of that is human trafficking. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, it's going to be dealt with by the Lord. He warned us that under the Biden presidency, that not only would this increase, which we see occurring at a historical high at the southern border, but they would strive to normalize and legalize minor attracted persons, or MAPs, under his presidency. Before this can be fully dealt with, it has to be exposed. As difficult as this season has been, intercession is necessary to maintain the exposure level and ultimately bring the system down. I would advocate that the gender identity crisis we're witnessing with social justice warriors crying out for proper, quote-unquote, gender-affirming care, previously diagnosed as really as recently as 2010 as gender dysphoria, has the potential to sterilize young children, and I believe that it is part of the abortion and human trafficking issue. Let me explain. An abortion not only ends the life of that child, it also aborts the life of the generations that would come through that individual. By pushing puberty blockers and gender reassignment drugs on children as young as 7, they're effectively destroying the generations that will come through those children. It's trafficking their mind through brainwashing while aborting their lineage through sterilization. God is dealing with this, and we see today state legislators working to stand up and protect children from this insanity. The third one, academia. We've seen a firestorm taking place with Ivy League colleges recently and universities across the nation. Why? Because they're filled with cultural Marxist educators brainwashing impressionable minds with deceptive ideology intent on extracting any trace of God, conservative values, and patriotism from their hearts and their minds. So while God is exposing and dealing with these universities, their enrollment is down nearly 10% just since 2001. Christians are taking this opportunity to raise up a standard in the industry and take back our universities for Christ. Corey Miller, he's president and CEO of Ratio Christi, is planting university clubs nationwide and around the world to help students who are questioning their purpose, their faith, their identities, and help them to find answers in Jesus. They're currently in over 100 universities across the nation, with access to their clubs made available for high school-age children as well. Corey firmly believes that Christians have a responsibility to take back our nation by entering and influencing every aspect of society with a Christ-centered life. He sees universities crumbling under cultural Marxist ideology and believes that now is the time for Christians to get involved and turn things around, beginning with universities, which I wholeheartedly agree with. Another program that Daryl mentioned last night in our good news, LifeWise Academy, is a Christian ministry that operates in the public arena, and it's offering Bible classes in 300 public schools in over 12 states across the nation. This is God infiltrating and bringing his word back to our youth. Now, if you remember, I think it was last year. I should have looked up the date on this. It was last year. It was in February of last year. I had a dream of our young people receiving dreams about heaven and drawing pictures of them and taking them to school. And when they were sharing them with their classmates, all they could do was talk about heaven. There were teachers in the classroom that were weeping. Administrators were weeping. School counselors were weeping because it was healing them from the bondage they themselves had been brought into being a part of academia. God is going to use our children to turn this nation around. Okay, so the fourth one, I think it's the fourth one, is religion. So praise God. Okay, the fifth one, sorry, is religion. God is dealing with religion. And throughout COVID, we saw those churches who would stand for righteousness and those who would crumble under the weight of government. Those standing and speaking the truth are speaking out against abortion, human trafficking, corruption in academia, the LGBTQ plus gender identity crisis, and so on. There are pastors doing this today. Praise God. On the other side of this, we see deceptions being exposed for what they really are. In addition to the prayer to God on behalf of Mother Earth, our sister is what the Catholic representatives prayed, and the Pope followed, where he repents and he calls upon others to follow suit in the fight for climate change. The Pope just announced, in addition to that, that the Catholic Church can now bless same-sex unions. Yep. On January 26th of 2024, Pope Francis once again defended his decision to allow blessings for same-sex couples, though he clarified that same-sex relationships, this is a quote, are still considered irregular and potentially sinful by the Church. So my question to the Pope is, if this is considered irregular and potentially sinful, why are you allowing these relationships to be blessed by the Church? People call pedophilia irregular and potentially sinful. Those that align with MAPS, minor attracted persons, that's what they qualify it as. Many years ago, I saw a mass exodus from the Catholic Church, and I believe that atrocities such as these is going to bring this about. So, God is exposing the core of compromise. In fact, the spirit behind the Catholic Church, it's rooted in compromise. So why are we seeing these things begin to surface now? Well, this answer, of course, is twofold: to lift our faith. God said it would occur, and he's demonstrating what he will do when his intercessors answer the call to pray. And secondly, our obedience. Through the obedience of the intercessors, the Lord is exposing the corruption in media, academia, and the horrors of bloodletting, and even the corruption in the church, to separate and to refine. In 2018, the Lord told me that we were in a season of refining, and that it would bring about a new breed of believers. I did several messages on that back in 2018, and I believe that we're going to see them come out of these very industries mentioned above and become warriors for righteousness, a new breed of warriors. These are five areas that I wanted to mention tonight for us to look out for. I believe we're going to see a new breed of journalists who are going to become beacons of truth and honor the constitutional right they've been granted by our founding fathers. I believe, number two, we're going to see a new breed of educators come forth who are going to reject cultural Marxist ideology and commit to the 1776 curriculum. They're going to reject communism, socialism, and raise a standard of righteousness in academia. Third, I believe we're going to see a new breed of advocates for life come forth. We're going to reject and expose the pro-abortion agenda for the multi-billion dollar bloodletting industry that it really is. Fourth, we'll see a new breed of victors come out of the shadows of victimhood to human trafficking, who will become advocates and teach and train others to move from victim to man to victor in Christ. And fifth, I believe we're going to see a new breed of biblical justice warriors coming forth, a mass exodus from the cultural Marxist social justice warrior. It is coming. It's coming. Keep your eye out for it. They're going to break free and bring forth biblical justice as they stand for truth, justice, in the American way. So finally, as I said, I want to bring a lesson from Paul's life. As I was pondering passages of Scripture to speak about those God brought out of the corrupt system to enter into and participate with God's plans and purposes in the earth, I just could not help but bring Paul into this. When I look at Paul's life, I look at the potential within the new breed of believers, or the new breed of warriors, if you will, that are going to come out of this corruption and enter into the light of God's truth. If I look at Paul, I would say, you know, his story encompasses much of what we see taking place with cultural Marxism or those social justice warriors. I've done several messages on that, and like I said, you can find those on our website. So we're going to start Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic Edition. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul, still drawing his breath hard from threatening and murderous desire against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and requested of him letters to the synagogues at Damascus, authorizing him, so that if he found any men or women belonging to the way of life as determined by faith in Jesus Christ, he might bring them bound with chains to Jerusalem. Now, as he traveled on, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground. Then he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, harassing, troubling, and molesting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is dangerous, and it will turn out badly for you to keep kicking against the goads, offering vain and perilous resistance." Trembling and astonished, he asked, "Lord, what do you desire for me to do?" The Lord said to him, "But arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men who were accompanying him were unable to speak for terror, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Then Saul got up from the ground, but though his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was unable to see for 3 days, and he neither ate nor drank anything. Now there was in Damascus a disciple named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he answered, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and ask at the house for Judas for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying there, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias enter and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard many people tell about this man, especially how much evil and what great suffering he has brought on your saints at Jerusalem. Now he is here and has authority from the high priest to put in chains all who call upon your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the descendants of Israel. For I will make clear to him how much he will be afflicted and must endure and suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias left and went into the house. And he laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you along the way by which you came here, has sent me that you might recover your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he recovered his sight. Then he arose and was baptized, and after he took some food, he was strengthened. For several days afterward, he remained with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately in the synagogues, he proclaimed Jesus, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the very man who harassed and overthrew and destroyed in Jerusalem those who called upon this name? And he's come here for the express purpose of arresting them and bringing them in chains before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength, and continued to confound and put to confusion the Jews who lived in Damascus by comparing and examining evidence and proving that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. After considerable time had elapsed, the Jews conspired to put Saul out of the way by slaying him. But the knowledge of their plot was made known to Saul. They were guarding the city's gates day and night to kill him. But the disciples took him at night and let him down through the city's wall, lowering him in the basket or hamper. And when they had arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to associate himself with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, you know, and rightly so. For they did not believe he was really a disciple. However, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he explained to them how, along the way, he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached freely and confidently and courageously in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out as one of them at Jerusalem, preaching freely and confidently and boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and discussed with and disputed against the Hellenists, the Grecian Jews, but they were seeking to slay him. And when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus, his hometown. So the church throughout the whole of Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was edified, growing in wisdom, virtue, and piety, and walking in the respect and reverential fear of the Lord, and in consolation and exhortation of the Holy Spirit, they continued to increase, and it was multiplied. And as we know, Saul eventually is renamed Paul. So I want to look at 6 points from Paul's conversion. First, Paul had become a social justice warrior. Saul, who became Paul, was so enraged at the disciples of the Lord, he sought to destroy them. So much so, he pursued legal action and permission to arrest and kill any who followed Christ. How many social justice warriors do we see out there trying to cancel people, destroy their careers, even engaging in violence? We saw this with the BLM activists across our country in 2020. In the peak, number two, in the peak of our passion, the greatest humbling can and will hit. So at what Paul considered to be the height of his mission, the pursuit of Christians, Christ met him on the road to Damascus and revealed truth to him, and it broke him. I've often thought about Paul having known that he was responsible for sending people to his death and how he carried that throughout his life and how it must have driven him in his path to follow Christ. Number three, isolation can bring revelation. God intentionally isolated Paul so he could reveal his truth to him. There's times that we find ourselves in a place of isolation, a place even of darkness. But that, when we seek God, is a time that he grabs hold of us and changes us from within. Number four, physical restraints can bring spiritual awakening. God blinded Paul so he could open his spiritual eyes. When the scales were removed, Paul arose a refined man, a new breed of believer, ready to devote his life to Christ regardless of the personal or physical cost. We know from Scripture what he endured as a disciple of Christ. We know the beatings. We know the unjust beating that occurred. But he counted it all joy that he might know Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings. Number five, when we come into the light, former peers often betray us. The very organization that Paul served so faithfully his entire life turned on him when he came into the light, seeking even to kill him time and time again in order to silence him. Those that are going to come out of darkness and into the light are going to be experiencing this. And we, as Christians, need to extend grace and help them come out from underneath that. And number six, persistence pays great dividends. Friends, we can never give up. In spite of the many obstacles, the near-death experiences, the physical persecution, the verbal abuse, and so on, Paul never gave up. And as it's written in Acts 17, verse 6, Paul turned the world upside down with his fervent message of the gospel. Paul is a perfect example of those who will be fleeing the industries that those weights that the eagle is carrying represent. The weights are falling off the flag now, and people are fleeing media, academia, church corruption, and the new breed of believers, new breed of journalists, new breed of educators, and those victims that are going to turn victors will come forth. We got to pray for them. We've got to pray that God will get a hold of them and bring them out. Pray that God will reveal truth to them. Pray that God will remove the scales from their eyes. Pray that God will set them free to be a voice for his plans and purposes in the earth. The kingdom of God is here, and we must align ourselves with his plans and work to bring others alongside us. Welcome them in as God has his way in their lives. These are the new breed of warriors that are about to come forth. Let's pray into their lives now and be prepared to receive them, because together we are all going to turn this nation upside down. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you, Lord God, that those that we look at today and we're so concerned out, or that we get offended with or hurt with because of how they are impacting our children and our nation, they are lost in darkness. just like we once were, just like your servant Paul once was. Father God, together we stand in the gap, not only for you to bring these systems down, but for you to bring those new breed of warriors out of them. We call them out of these industries, and we ask, Lord God, that you would reveal to them your light. I think of Abby Johnson, who was the head of one of the largest Planned Parenthood clinics, sat next to Hillary Clinton at a benefit for Planned Parenthood, was googly-eyed and excited about that moment. But when you got a hold of her and she saw the truth, it broke her. And today, she is such an advocate for life. Such an advocate for family. Such an advocate for our pre-born citizens and the beauty of carrying our babies to term. You got a hold of her, Lord God, because somebody was praying for her. And you turned her life upside down, and she is turning the abortion industry upside down with the truth she's revealing. Father God, let us follow in Paul's footsteps. Let us follow in the footsteps like Abby Johnson. Let us follow, Lord God, on the path you set before us and welcome those that you're going to bring out of these industries into our arms and help them find the light. Help them find the truth. Help them, Lord God, have the scales removed from their eyes as well. We thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful and you are true and you are just. And you care about those lost in darkness just as much as you cared about us. Let us rally together and fight for them like you fought for us. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your love and your grace. In your precious name I pray. Amen.